Welcome. Stephen Trigg has joined us. Good enough from the Cullen Football Club. G'day, Stephen.
Learned men. Good morning.
Stephen, just on that, what the buzz was saying about then, what was your situation with your AFLW team and injuries throughout the course of the season? This is senior girls, of course, not junior girls.
Well, broadly, I reckon there's a couple of good words there. The juggernaut that it was, and Gills called it a revolution, and it's all of those things in terms of 20% year-on-year growth at participation. And you know, the introduction of AFLW earlier this year was, I think, in every way a magnificent thing. Certainly for our club, it was wonderful on every layer. But the injury one is interesting, and you know, we had a list of 27 players, and by the end of the season, we were needing to find players outside that 27 because of a high number of injuries.
And it's a seven-game season.
That's right. So and shortened games. My sense was, and I don't have any data to back this up, but my sense was that with the cameras rolling and big crowds in, that there's a mentality of a kamikaze approach on the ball. And I don't think, KB, it's as much wrapped up in body type as it is in terms of coming to grips with the speed of the game at that level, when the mentality is at 100%. The mentality is attack, kamikaze attack, but in the end, you need to be able to protect yourself and do it the right way in terms of the combative nature of the sport. And I think that the women will work that through really quickly. I think coaching will help that. Good coaching will help that. So I'm not concerned at all about leakage back out of the participation. The numbers won't support that at the moment. The numbers will say that the growth is still there and it's significant. But I think there's some learning in terms of coping with the combative nature of sport at that level.
So, Stephen, a lot of women will laugh at three blokes talking about women not being able to protect themselves. And yet, you know, on a really simplistic level, you might say a lot of blokes have fights in the backyard with your brother and you get pushed over and you learn how to fall. And maybe some of these women weren't quite able to do that. How much can they be coached? Because we hear a lot about injury prevention and coaching. But, yeah, coaching in the tackle, coaching about how to fall, coaching about how to enter a contest, not head first? Are they relevant issues?
Well, I reckon you nailed it a moment ago when you were talking about junior level football. The women are as coachable as anybody I've seen. And at AFLW level, they soak it up, they listen, they want to learn, and they're quick learners. So we saw a very rapid progression through the pre-season and indeed the season proper, albeit KB, a seven-week season. And I expect that another season back at VFL level and then, you know, another pre-season of AFL level, you'll see the product get better and better.
What about concussion? I mean, there's a lot of studies around. Some would say that women are 8 times more susceptible, some 50% more susceptible. You had a few of them, and we saw a few across the competition, which is, of course, an issue that the AFL men are confronting too.
Mm. Well, this is anecdotal. This is a personal view, and I have no data to back it up. But in terms of the way the game's played, I think that ties perfectly into my point. That is, there's a couple of times, you know, I'd watch it with one eye and think that's leading into a pack, a congested situation head first is not smart, right? Like it's prone. And I think that the women will quickly find a way to learn and to how to use their body in those situations.
Well, I think you know, parents have been very enthusiastic. You know, that their daughters can actually play football and competition. We can see a pathway going all the way to AFLW.
It's wonderful.
No doubt about that. But I just wonder whether the enthusiasm of the parents will wane. You know, if their young girls, you know, and under 12s, under 13s, under 14s, under 16s are starting to suffer serious injuries, whether, you know, the enthusiasm from the parents wanes, and therefore that can take away the enthusiasm of the child as well.
Well, the way the game is umpired, the way the game is coached, those are two really critical issues in terms of working through that. Because you make a good point, you don't want to disincentivize disincentivize parents from having their kids play, and I think umpiring and coaching are really critical factors in all of that.
Stephen Trigg has joined us, CEO of the Carlton Football Club. Stephen, you've got orange socks on today.
I have. They're a fashion statement. They look good with your black and yellow, by the way. Yellow and black. We have. Yeah, the Carlton respects, and orange is the synonymous with harmony. And this weekend will be our second go at a signature game for us that was just part of an overarching approach from Carlton to be leaders in gender equality, straight off the back of talking about AFL women's. And we want to make a really successful day of it as part of a broader club program. So Carlton Respects is all about the prevention of family violence, and family violence is something that's close to a number of hearts at Carlton, and it is a scourge in throughout Australia, which everyone knows. So our ability is there to make a difference, and that's what we're trying to do.
So you've got Kate Jenkins, a Equal Opportunity and Human Rights Commissioner, on your board. You talked about being close to people's hearts. Could you give us a little bit of insight there into what that means?
Well, Kate, I've said this often. I think Kate might be one of our best recruits, actually. Yeah. The Federal Sex Discrimination Commissioner, but broadly experienced in terms of helping us where we need to get to as a club. The close to the hearts part, nearly 2 years ago, John, we had an all-player, all-staff, all-board lunch, which we do monthly, and we had a guest speaker, and that guest speaker spoke about her experience at the hands of family violence. And it was pin-drop material, and it was compelling, and it hit home really hard about the issue. And indeed, our ability as a club, because the settings for change are in educational institutions, in sporting clubs and environments, and in workplaces, and frankly, we would consider ourselves to be all three of those. So we felt that we could make a difference, and particularly given at least half a dozen people in that room had the conversation afterwards about their experiences with the guest speaker, sent a very clear message to board and executive that we had an issue on our hands here that was close to our hearts that we should be doing something about.
Kevin would say that he respects Carlton, but I think a lot of people would have said that back in the old days, the John Elliott days, that Carlton was arrogant and it was quite blokey. How have you been able to change that paradigm with more women on your board, more women in your staff, more cross-representation of women in your membership?
Footy team.
Yeah, in your footy team, exactly. All those things, because it was an old-fashioned 80s arrogant club. And women, well, that's great. If they could serve the drinks, that was the John Elliott ethos.
Yeah, poor membership with females too.
Well, if we continued that path, we wouldn't grow. And I don't just mean in terms of the membership number. I mean generally as a club. And growth takes many forms. So unless we became a more inclusive club, unless we took this position on equality, we're not going to grow. But then you need to walk the talk, to your point. So the composition of the board via Mark's leadership has changed very significantly in terms of its shape and composition. We're now 25% and rising, aiming to rise in terms of the composition of women on our board. Our executives got to 50% women, and so too is our staff. And we haven't necessarily set a hard and fast target on that, just that we needed to grow. And frankly, we arrive at a point today where, I'm not looking at a scoreboard, but you look back at the progression and that's where we've arrived at. And we're a better place for it. We're a better club. We've grown. And again, that's in many different forms. Now, to get the women's team on top of that was an absolute...
bonus, was it?
Well, it's a bonus. I think some cynics would say it was the turning point for us, but we'd already been on this path before the women's team was afforded to us, and it's been just a part of it, but a really important part. So, look, we are growing. That membership number, which is just a little part of the growth, is jumped up from something like 27%, and many have heard me say before, the lowest in the competition 2 or 3 years ago. Somewhere in the low 30s now, 33, 34%. So we're growing in that area, and we need to continue to do so.
Stephen Triggers joins CEO of Carlton Football Club. Also, Stephen, we've seen those green shoots that you spoke about a couple of years ago on this program.
All the colours.
Sitting exactly where you are now. Brave effort against Melbourne on the weekend, but all of a sudden, 5 NAB Rising Star nominations as well this year. I know at the start of the season you tried to play down Carlton a little bit in 2017, but you probably... at this stage, would be pretty thrilled the way that the club is progressing. Mm.
Yes is the short answer. Mm. I don't think anybody involved in AFL is into honourable losses. You just prefer to win. It's a vastly better feeling. But at the same time, and I say this quite sincerely, I'm incredibly proud of our club and our group in terms of the growth, the way we're presenting ourselves, and indeed the competitiveness in the group. The core competitiveness, and I think if you get that every single time you play, your supporters and your staff and everyone walks away feeling at least fulfilled that we're on the right path. So, yeah, we're making some ground. five wins in and of itself is skinny. We didn't set a target at the start of the year. We were just looking to grow, given where we'd come from. But I think the most telling thing, KB, is that we've been in front on another five occasions somewhere in the last quarter. So in 10 games, we've led in the last quarter out of our 15 outings. And that's just indicative of the core competitiveness. At the same time, the kids, the young players on our list are growing. And I give enormous credit to our coaching and development group for that. Five rising stars is one indication, but the ability to put a Cunningham through the middle of the ground now, a Fisher through the middle of the ground, to have Wietering play every game, to have Charlie dominating games now. Some of those things are signs of growth. So I think we're on the right path. I still think we've got a lot of work ahead of us, KB, but we're on our way.
Clearly you're going to want to bring in some players in the off-season. I suppose my thoughts on this are that you've got Sam Petrescu set in pick six. If you do get a Kelly in, probably it'll be a Judd-type deal. You have to give up so much for him. Or Lever or Hopper. So why not just keep going to the draft? You know, you spend $60,000 bucks on a player and he might turn into Charlie Kerner or any of those players. I mean, it's a delicate balance for you.
It is, Ralphie. And my view has been, let's make our own Josh Kelly. And hopefully Carlton supporters and members are seeing at the moment just a bit in some of the last couple of years' draft that we can do that. I'll lead with my chin a bit here, but I think we'll look back in 10 years' time and think of the 15 and 16 drafts under Stephen's leadership that they're breakout drafts, and we might have found ourselves 150, 200-game players. So I think we're on our way with that. We set out just barely 18 months ago on this program and said that, hands on hearts, we would go to the draft and build the core depth via the draft on our list. That means we've got to go to this draft. The only reason we would come off that line would be for exceptional young talent, not older talent, right?
So if Josh Kelly said, I want to come to Carlton, it'd be hard to knock that back.
No, I think it's unwise to talk about the individual because there's no benefit for Carlton in talking about an individual because it just gets us nowhere in terms of what might be a transaction. I'm not saying we're into Josh or we're not. All I'm saying is that no individuals to be spoken about, but the principle is pretty clear. If we're going to do something with our picks, I would rather us go to the draft, but if we're going to do something with our picks, it would only be for elite young, underlying young talent.
Speaking of young people, before we go to the break, Ben Silvani, is he eligible next year? Because there's also a Fletcher running around. We might see another Silvani and a Fletcher playing against each other. How much contact do you have with him? He's much hyped in Xavier circles.
Yeah, I think he's the year after, but at the same time, he's coming along really well. Who knows? A bit much of a fairy tale to have three Silvanis running around at once. There's three boys, numbers one, two, and three. But time will tell. Jack's progressing really nicely. That's key at the moment. He's starting to be a consistent contributor, which is good. But Ben's coming along pretty well too. He's bigger and stronger.
Damn straight he is,
so we'll see.
Don't forget, Hungry for Sport retweeted a video from the Carlton Twitter page, which includes a video from Tarang Chawla, Blues Foundation ambassador in 2017, a young Australian of the Year finalist, who tragically tells the story of his younger sister being a victim of domestic violence. Now, there'll be a number of supporter bays at the MCG filled with orange T-shirts on Sunday, with all Blues fans and members encouraged to wear a form of orange for the game, and proceeds from the ticket sales donated to the Blues Foundation. You can make a donation at bluesfoundation.org.au. Bryce Gibbs last year, big story last year. It looked like he was going to leave. He couldn't do a deal. He's had a terrific season for the Blues. What's his situation now at the end of this season, 2017? Will he be at Carlton or will he be off to Adelaide?
Well, with 2 years left on his contract, I'd expect him to be at Carlton. But it's great credit to him, don't you think? The way
he's played
this year. He's probably having, I didn't see firsthand all of his games prior to the last 3 years.
No, it's his best career.
It's probably his best year. And I think all things considered, that's huge credit to him. We would hope and expect that he's still with us next year. As I say, he's contracted for two more. It was a personal issue, not a football issue. And we've said that a lot of times. It wasn't about Carlton or coaching or Melbourne. It was simply a personal issue.
But has that settled down, the personal issue?
We understand so. So I would expect him to be in Melbourne.
And Stephen, there will be a situation where potentially you could get a first-round pick for him, and it would actually help Carlton if you could get young Jacob Hopper in, young, you know, man-child GWS midfielder. If you could get the 21-year-old version for the 29-year-old. So how do you work through that if it does become a win-win for you? I know you have to say that he's going to stay, but you know, it could become a win-win for you now that you have another year into your young midfielders, you've got more midfield depth. You know, that could happen at the end of the season.
We're also, despite the point about taking elite young talent earlier versus going to the draft with your high picks, there is the simple fact that we are one of the youngest teams in the competition, and we do need experience in and around that youth. And the cynics out there might say, well, you're talking about your youth and going back to the draft, and if you use picks, it'll be for youth. And yet you took Alex Silvani. Well, the point being that, one, it didn't cost us anything at the table, but secondly, you just have to have a bit of experience. Otherwise, you become too vulnerable.
And size.
And in and around Alex, if you think about it, on some of the games earlier this year when Alex was superb, we had around him McCready and Williamson and some very, very young talent. And it helps to have a senior hand there. So back to Bryce, the point is, I take your point, John, but at the same time, we need to get the balance right between that injection of youth and elite youth and having experience. And Bryce's performances this year are underlining his leadership and experience.
Liam Jones was bitten by a radioactive spider and turned into the second best fullback in the competition behind Alex Rex.
He might be the best at the moment.
Did you see that coming?
No. I was hopeful it was coming, but no.
So now it looks like he's going to be recontracted to Carlton instead of showing the door?
I would think almost certainly. Soss and his management are close. Yeah, he's. It's been extraordinary, and there's a little cynic in me at the start, but you know, 5 or 6 weeks into his resurrection, he's playing really, really well. And I think I saw a stat the other day that his opponents in those 6 weeks have only taken one contested mark on him. So he reads it well. He's got some power, and you know, as Brendan said the other day, why we didn't think of it, or someone didn't think of it some time ago. You know, it's. We'll kick ourselves.
Patrick Cripps. So he plays on with the fractured cheekbone. We now know he's done for the year with a fractured fibula, but he was playing hurt in the last 6 weeks. Is that right?
He's a hard young man. And we'll miss him. We'll miss his distribution in the middle of the ground and, you know, his midfield play. But we'll miss the example that he sets as well. Everyone knows that he got a little hairline fracture in his jaw earlier in the season, but to be 5 or 6 weeks ago, he took on some reasonable damage to a couple of ribs as well. So, you know, to underline that hardness, an example, puts a guard on it, tapes it up. And every time I've watched him over the last 6 weeks where, you know, he's got that sort of signature play, the hands in the air and dispatches the ball and the opponents are ramming themselves into it. He's taking the tackle into his torso. I'm thinking, hard unit. He's
been playing with broken ribs.
He's a competitive young man. Let's call them damaged ribs.
It's exceptional, really, isn't it?
How come you didn't tell us that when he was playing?
Really?
for the very reason.
Lying's the second language of AFL football. You say, no, Patrick Cripps is 100%. Now, what about you're bringing back the long-sleeve jumper at Carlton? Everyone's got to wear a long-sleeve jumper now, do they? How many players have you got wearing long-sleeve jumpers there?
Do you know how cold it was at the MCG on Sunday?
It was cold. But that doesn't stop guys in the past, you know, putting a bit of oil on.
I don't know what that is all about, but it's. I don't mind the look.
You've got Doherty,
Samo.
Jed Lamb, maybe.
Jack Silvani.
Yep.
Silvani.
I might wear one myself.
Hey, Dale Thomas, 7 weeks to go in the season, and obviously needs to continue to play well, but he's performing a role there. You've turned over 51 players in 4 years, so you can't turn over another 12. What has he put himself in the position to get an extra year, obviously having voided that contract clause? Mm.
Well, I think the first thing to say is that Daisy has conducted himself superbly in every way, and his performances of late have been, the season stopped right now, he'd be in pretty good shape, you'd think, and particularly off the back of the conversation a moment ago, we're talking about needing experienced hands in and around our younger list. And he is, and we've said this before, he's a positive influence on the group. So, no problem with that. If he stays sound for the next 7 weeks, be a good conversation.
One more question. Levi Casbolt, there's been some talk that last year he might have been on the table. This year, saw him on the weekend. He took some good marks on the weekend against Melbourne. And his kicking has improved. Is he part of the fixture for Carlton next year?
Well, we'd like him to be, but he's a free agent. And so...
What's been the feedback from him?
He's a blue at heart, that he wants to be at Carlton. But at the same time, and you need to be pragmatic about this, if I was his management, I'd wait and have a look as well and just see. And that's not unreasonable, and we're quite relaxed about that. What clubs will do is think through plans B and C. But we'd very much like him to be with us. He's entitled to have a look at his options, and we'll have a look at the end of the season.
And it might be you might have to pay him a bit more, but I mean, no one has ever matched a free agency bid. We know that Adelaide effectively did for Patrick Dangerfield, forced Geelong into a trade. But do you think we'll get more of that? I think Richmond should match Dusty Martin's deal, whatever it might be. I mean, if you had to pay a bit more for Levi, do you think clubs will consider it more than they have in the past?
Yes. Yeah. I think that there's an evolution in all of this and an open mind. So, yeah, yep, short answer.
Just how far off are we of a first $2 million player?
$2
million player. Wait, 2 years away? Three, four, five,
taking one, ten? Taking one-sixth of your cap.
Well, how far away are we?
Well, at least a couple of years. Within this broadcast rights deal, this CBA, maybe. It's a heck of a lot of money.
Have to kick a lot of goals, win a lot of games.
I wouldn't be confident of reaching that level in this CBA, this next 5 years.
And just on the ethics and of talking to players from other clubs, I know you don't talk individual. What's Carlton's policy on that? You obviously would talk to a manager, but would you, if a player said, "I want a tour through Icon Park," as we saw with Lin Jong, would you be up to that, or is there a line somewhere?
I think there's a line somewhere. I can't necessarily sit here and define where that line is, but dude, I think there's a line there somewhere. I don't think etiquette's the right word. There's a sense of reason about it, which I think all clubs generally adhere to.
Stephen, always great to catch up. A lot of Carlton fans very, very excited about the way the Blues are playing at the moment. It is Carlton's respect game against the Western Bulldogs. That's a huge game on Sunday. Bulldogs probably got a win to try and keep their hopes alive. Carlton Respect program, it's into the second year. The Blues will wear orange socks on Sunday against the reigning premiers, the Bulldogs, and there will be a number of supporter bays at the MCG filled with orange T-shirts on Sunday, with all the Blues fans and members encouraged to wear a form of orange for the game. Proceeds from the ticket sales donated to the Blues Foundation. You can make a donation at bluesfoundation.org.au. Good luck for the rest of the season.
Thanks, man. Go Blues.
Stephen Trigg, go Blues. This hour, all thanks to Trade Institute of Victoria. Want to learn a trade? Go to tiv.edu.au.